The Nectarian Halo of Sri Radha Krishna Ataksa Sattva Raja. Hare Krishna, Mataji, please take over this call.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji, so beautifully welcoming everybody. Thank you so much for your wonderful service. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji and all the organizers for this opportunity to speak amongst all of you and receive your wonderful association. Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayaprataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangurdangayate Girim Yatkripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Continuing on with the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja, reading from text 8. Suvarna Nandi Kanchita Tirekha Kambu Kanthage Trisutra Manga Ligara Triratna Dipti Dithiti Salola Neela Kuntala Prasuna Gocha Gumfite Kada Karesha Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. O goddess, who wear a golden necklace on the three-lined conch shell of your neck, O splendid goddess with three jasmine garlands and three jeweled necklaces, O goddess whose moving locks of dark hair are decorated with bunches of flowers, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So here, in the next, actually, almost three verses, the indescribable beauty of Srimati Radharani has been described here. You know, 8, 9, 10, and is basically 8, 9, and 10 is describing the personal features of Srimati Radharani, and also what she, you know, how she decorates herself. So here in this particular verse, how it is described here by Lord Shiva, that She wears golden necklace on the three-lined conch shell of your neck. So Srimati Radharani's neck, the glory of her neck is being described here. It's like a conch shell. So, if you remember that even when we sing Damodar Ashtakam, in the second verse of Sri Damodar Ashtakam, there also Damodar, Krishna, is glorified to have his neck just like the three lines of a conch shell. So Krishna's neck is also described to be like a conch shell. It goes like this, the second verse. Rudanta moho netra yugmam rajantam karam bhuja yugmena satanka netram moho shwasa kantate rekanka kanta sthita grivam damoda ram bhakti padham. So it is said that moho shwasa kampa trirekanka kantha. So Krishna's kantha is just like that of a conch shell. In fact, if you see the back of the conch shell, not the round part, but the back of the conch shell has very beautifully curved three lines it has. You know, where the conch shell folds to the inner side, to the back of the conch shell. If you notice, it has very beautiful three lines. Now just imagine that Krishna's neck is glorified just like that conch shell. It's so elegant, so beautiful, so curvy. So Krishna's neck is just like that, three lines of a conch shell. Similarly here, Lord Shiva is glorifying Srimati Radharani that her neck is also just like the three lines of a conch shell. Even her neck is so splendidly beautiful, so splendidly elegant that even her neck is just like that of a conch shell. And she decorates her three-lined conch shell shape of her neck with beautiful golden necklaces. A goddess splendid with three jasmine garlands and three jeweled necklaces. O goddess whose moving locks of dark hair are decorated with bunches of flowers. Guccha gumfite. Guccha means bunch. So not just a few strings of flowers, but bunches and bunches of flowers decorate Srimati Radharani's dark hair. So here I was reading from Sri Vidagdha Madhava, the indescribable beauty of Srimati Radharani, and Krishna himself is glorifying the beauty of Srimati Radharani. Here it is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. Krishna is saying that entwining in this way and that with decorations of fresh forest flowers and bound and tied up with jewel threads, adorned with jasmine garlands of exotic fragrance and hanging down very best of noble gemstones. Your hairstyle arranged by the hand of Lord Hari himself. Will I ever see it, Sri Radhe? This is the prayer of Rupa Goswami in Vidagdha Madhava. That how Rupa Goswami is saying that Hari, Lord Hari himself is actually decorating the hair and, you know, doing the decorations on the hair of Srimati Radharani. In this regard, I was remembering that we all know that Krishna is very famously known as Keshava. One of his very celebrated names is Keshava. And we all generally know that the reason why Krishna is, you know, based on his different pastimes, he gets different names. So he's called Madhusudana because he killed the demon named Madhu. He is called Keshava because he killed the demon named Keshi, the horse demon. But there's another reason why Krishna is celebrated and is known as Keshava. Because Krishna is the most expert in decorating Srimati Radharani's kesh. Srimati Radharani's long, dark, you know, cloud-like hair, nobody else can decorate it the way, in the most expert way that Sri Krishna himself decorates her hair. And that is why Sri Krishna is celebrated as known as Keshava, because he is so expert in decorating Srimati Radharani's hair. You can see how it is so beautifully described here, how every word is chosen here by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, that how he's saying that the hair, you know, it is entwining. You know, entwining means, of course, it means that Krishna is making a plate, you know, like the three plates that is done with the lady's hair. That's what Krishna is doing. So it is, he's entwining the hair with fresh forest flowers. And he's also, the way he is tying up the hair is with not just ordinary thread. It is jeweled thread. So there is shine amongst each. Even the thread that is used on Srimati Radharani, Krishna is so careful that it is not just any ordinary thread, not just any colorful thread, but it is jeweled thread. And he is adorning Srimati Radharani's hair with exotic jasmine garlands. And he's also hanging down some noble gemstones. See, they're just not ordinary gemstones. How Krishna is using the best of gemstones. You know, how Krishna, even in Gopi Gita, how Krishna is glorified that, you know, he is the best amongst lotus. You know, the gopis are not just calling Krishna as any lotus flower. You know, he is they're saying that Krishna is a very special kind of lotus flower. How are they explaining that? They're saying, Sharadudaya Shari Sadhu Jata Sat Sharasi Jodara Shrinu Shadrisha Suratanathate Ashoka Dasika Varadhani Gnato Neha Kim Vada. What they are saying, the gopis, that Krishna, you are not just any ordinary lotus. You are the lotus that blooms in the best of seasons, which is the autumn season, Sharad Udashaye, Sharad Ritu. The autumn season, in that season, the lotus that blooms has the most intoxicating and exotic kind of fragrance. And they're not just the lotus that blooms in the Sharad Ritu, or in the autumn season, but your Sadhu Jat. You are the lotus which is of the highest, you know, birthright. Your Sadhu Jata. Jata means, you know, by nobility, by birth. So you are just like a sadhu, you know, sadhu jata. You know, your perfectly formed lotus. It is, you know, just the best of its kind. Sadhu jata means it's the topmost of its kind. There cannot be anything more beautiful or more noble than this. So the gopis are addressing Krishna that you are, by calling him Sadhu Jata, they are defeating all purpose of saying, you know, when how Krishna is called, you know, that, oh, he enjoys with the gopis, he does this, he is not of, he is of questionable, you know, character and things like that. But the gopis are saying here that he is Sadhu Jata. He is of the most noble and the most highest of, you know, birthright. That is how the gopis are glorifying Krishna. And therefore, Srimati Radharani, when she gets decorated by Krishna himself, Krishna makes sure that even the gemstones that he collects for Srimati Radharani have a noble background. You see that Srimati Radharani is the epitome of chastity. And last week we were describing how the pastime of Jatila and Kutila with Srimati Radharani, how they always say that, oh, Srimati Radharani, she is very unchastely going and, you know, talking to Krishna. She's not being chaste to her husband Abhimanyu. So that is the greatest complaint that Jatila and Kutila have against Srimati Radharani. So time and again, to prove the chastity of Srimati Radharani, Krishna establishes that as a fact by giving, you know, so many tests, you know, the 1,000-hold pot, water pot. Nobody in Vrindavan was able to fill water from the Jamuna while retaining the water in the 1,000-hold water pot. Only Srimati Radharani was able to do that. She was able to fill water in the 1,000-hold water pot and bring it even without a drop falling from that water pot. She brought it to Krishna. So that was showing, Krishna is establishing it over and over again. And Krishna knows that Srimati Radharani is only chaste to him. That is the epitome of all chastity. So Jatila and Kutila, of course, you know, we should understand that their purpose of coming in this Bhauma Leela was to increase the loving interactions amongst Krishna and the gopis and Srimati Radharani. That Krishna wanted to enjoy Parakiya Ras, and that is not possible in Goloka Vrindavan. So when Krishna comes here in this world, he enjoys Parakiya Ras. So this is how Srimati Radharani is decorated by Krishna himself. He chooses the most, you know, exalted amongst even the gemstones. He gives attention to such details. You know, generally men are known to be NIDs, not into details, you know. They just go with whatever, you know, the ladies say. They just tend to agree, but Krishna, he's not like that. Krishna is very much into details, especially when it comes in question to Srimati Radharani. You know, Srimati Radharani is decorated by noble gemstones, which is personally chosen by Krishna. So very much giving attention to all the details. Krishna very expertly arranges the hair of Srimati Radharani. And that is why he is celebrated as Keshava. Because nobody can adorn the hair, the gorgeous kesh of Srimati Radharani like Krishna himself. So that is why he is known as Keshava. Now here we also notice that Lord Shiva is saying, you know, that Srimati Radharani has 3 jasmine garlands. She wears 3 jeweled necklaces. You know, there's in 2 different occasions. And of course, her, you know, neck has 3 lines like that of a conch shell. So this 3 has a great significance. The significance of 3 is explained by Srila Prabhupada. He says that when a particular point needs to be stressed, it is given as 3 shuddha. Prabhupada, you know, of course, him being Bengali and all of us being Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya means that we are from Gauda Desh, which is Lord Chaitanya's Desh, which is Mayapur Dham, and the language there is Bengali. So, Prabhupada said in Bangla that there is a phrase called Tin Shutta. Tin means three, Shutta means truth. That when you want to establish certain truth, then you say it three times and it is established as the absolute truth. Just like we know very famously, the verse goes, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam. Kala Nastieva, Nastieva, Nastieva Gataranyata. So here, two things are stressed three times each. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam. You know, in this explanation to this particular verse, many a time Srila Prabhupada has given this explanation that just the first line should have sufficed. That Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam. That there is only the chanting of the holy names, only the chanting of the holy names, only the chanting of the holy names. This would have been sufficient. That, you know, only the chanting of the holy names, Kevalam, only. This is the only way of deliverance in Kali Yuga. Just this line would have been sufficient. But again, the second line comes, Kala Nastieva, 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 Higatiranyatha. That there is no other way, no other way, no other way. So how the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Nama, the chanting of the holy names is given so much of importance that there is no other way than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in this age of Kali Yuga. You know, the Hare Krishna Mantra, we all know that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We see that Hare is given more preference in the Mahamantra, if we notice. You know, Krishna in the Mahamantra is present four times. Rama is present four times. But Hare is present eight times in the Mahamantra. So this in itself is a written proof, is a verbal proof that what is the importance of Hare in the Mahamantra? What is the importance of Mother Hara in our particular life? What is the importance of Mother Hara? What is the importance of Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radha Thakurani in connection to our making spiritual advancement, in our obtaining Krishna Prema? It is actually Mother Hara who gives us Krishna. She is the only one who can award Krishna to us. Nobody else in this own whole world can give Krishna. Even Krishna himself does not give himself to us. When Krishna came in Dwapara Yuga, Krishna just said, "Surrender unto me." Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. You just abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender to me. I will, you know, deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Ma shuchaha. But Krishna didn't really mention how to surrender to Krishna. So Srimati Radharani contemplated about it. So she came. You know, Krishna came with the mood, with the merciful mood of Srimati Radharani, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimati Radharani came, and she is the one who opened the doors of Goloka Vrindavan for all of us. When Krishna came, he also came from Goloka Vrindavan, but Krishna closed the door behind him when he came. But Srimati Radharani and Krishna, when both of them joined together, combined together, and when they came, Sriman Mahaprabhu, how does his hands, you know, assemble. How is his hands? It is raised. Both of his hands are raised. So Mahaprabhu, when he is coming down from Goloka Vrindavan, he didn't have the opportunity to turn back and close the door because Mahaprabhu's hands were raised. You see? So when Lord Chaitanya's hands were raised, he could not even close the door back. So that's why the doors of Goloka Vrindavan are open. And we can make advantage, we can take advantage of this most merciful opportunity that has been given to us by the most compassionate Srimati Radharani. And that is the most ultimate objective why we are trying to understand the Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja, so that we can understand the position of Srimati Radharani. What is her position? What is her, we are seeing no way, to try and comprehend the relationship between Radha and Krishna. It is very exotic. It is very, very exalted. It's very, very pure. We are in no way that we can sit and talk about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. We are not qualified for that. All we can do is try to beg for their blessings, so that we will be able to just repeat what we have heard from our Guru Vargas and what we have heard from Srila Prabhupada. So our duty is just simply to repeat and try and assimilate this mercy of Srimati Radharani and understand how special she is in connection to Krishna, how special she is when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and how special she is that without her mercy, we will not receive the mercy of Krishna. Without her mercy, we will not receive the understanding by which we can relish the Maha Mantra. Otherwise, it will just be a very, very mechanical process. So we have to beg at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani that she allows us to realize how merciful she is, and by her mercy, when she is pleased, then she recommends us to Krishna. Then Krishna is awarding us Krishna Prema. That is the process. So with this understanding, depending completely on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas, we move on to text 9. Nitamba bindalangana pushpamekha lagune prashastaratna kin kalapamadhya manjule karindra shunda dandika varoha shobha goruke kada karesha sihamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. O goddess, who wear a sash of flowers on your curved hips, O goddess, charming with a sash of tinkling jeweled bells, O goddess, whose beautiful thighs punish the regal elephant's trunk, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? Again, here, the beauty of Srimati Radharani's lower body is being given. So I will again read from Sri Vidagdha Madhava, where Krishna himself is glorifying Srimati Radharani. And he is saying, O moon-faced one, O doe-eyed one, O goddess, O lovely nosed one, O one with reddish lips, O sweet smiler, O supreme Lakshmi, O creeper armed one, O lustrous one of conch shell smooth neck, O one with plantain tree shaped thighs, O whose collection of lotus toenails brightly illuminates all directions, when, O Radhe, will you be worshipped by me? Sri Krishna, Lord Hari, is begging in this way to Srimati Radharani by describing her indescribable beauty, that when will I be able to worship you, O Radhe? Even Srimati Radharani is the object of worship by Lord Hari himself. And the most beautiful thing here that, you know, I'd just like for us to, in this particular verse, I personally meditate on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. It's a very beautiful meditation. Just, I will share with you what I have heard, and let us see if we can try and visualize the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. The Srimati Radharani's lotus feet is colored like that of molten gold. Molten gold is especially the color which is gold tinged with some white in it. When you boil gold, your gold is yellow. When you boil gold, it gives out a bright luster, you know, like it becomes like lightning. The way lightning looks, how lightning just strikes, you know, goes ch-ch-ch-ch-ch like that. So similarly, when you boil gold, that is the color that comes out. It has a whitish yellow kind of complexion. So that is the complexion that is closest to verbal description about the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So when Srimati Radharani, generally you don't see her lotus feet because she is very modest, she is very chaste. And chaste ladies, they actually have their feet covered at all times. They never show their feet unless they are walking or running. So when they are walking, they lift their saris a little bit, and that's when you can see their lotus feet. So Srimati Radharani, when she's walking towards Krishna, that's when Krishna becomes mesmerized by seeing the beauty of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Let us imagine, let us try to meditate on her lotus feet. So Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, as I was explaining, is the color of molten gold. And then she has the red dye, which is the alta, very beautifully decorated. It forms a thin line around her lotus feet first, and the soles of her lotus feet is also colored red with this dye called as alta. And then on her feet, with this dye called as alta, there are beautiful, very intricate designs that are made. And these designs are made with the tip end of the peacock feather. And Sudevi Gopi is the most expert in making these beautiful, intricate designs on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So sometimes she makes different designs like a flower grove. And then she puts butterflies in them. She puts little birds in them. So all of these are happening. The Leela is happening in the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. There's flowers manifesting. There's butterflies manifesting. And there are little tiny birds manifesting created by Sudevi Gopi, and who have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the form of these very intricate designs. So as soon as Sudevi Gopi draws the butterfly, it's like as if they come to life, and they become lively, and they, you know, start interacting with the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So there's an entire pastime that is happening in the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. The toenails of Srimati Radharani are so brightly illuminating that they put to shame thousands upon thousands of moons together. So Srimati Radharani, when she walks in the middle of the night, there is no need for any other light, because when she lifts her skirt or lifts her sari, then the illumination that comes from her toenails brightens the entire forest path. That is this light that comes out, the illumination that comes out from Srimati Radharani's bright toenails. And each of her toenails, especially, is very beautifully painted with a very beautiful dye, very beautifully painted. And on her big toenail, there is some very beautiful decorations that are done on top of the nail. And then Srimati Radharani, she wears toenails on the three of the middle fingers, the three of her middle toe fingers. She wears beautiful toe rings. And they are all having diamonds and sapphires and ruby. These are the three stones that Srimati Radharani wears on her toenails. Her ankle belts she wears, one is a tight one, which is on top of her ankle. The other one is a loose one, which comes down almost to her and touches her toes. You know, so it is drooping down, very beautiful one. So one is tight, which is on the top, and the other one is elongated one. And the one that is elongated has beautiful tinkling bells. Pearls are hanging down. The one that is tight on her lotus feet, lotus ankle, is diamond-studded ankle bell. So this way, Srimati Radharani, when she lifts up her sari and she walks towards Krishna, this is the way that we can relish the beauty of the nectar coming from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So this is how we can meditate on this particular verse of Srimati Radharani's glorification of her transcendental beauty by Lord Shiva. How she wears, you know, a sash of flowers. You know, she wears, flower belt also. You know, Srimati Radharani, actually it is explained that Srimati Radharani very expertly has taught Lalita and Vishakha that, you know, the flower ornaments that she personally likes. You know, Srimati Radharani not only wears jeweled ornaments, but on top of the jeweled ornaments, she also wears forest flower ornaments. There's a very special reason why she does that. Because Krishna, he is the master of the forest. You know, because they always have their rendezvous in the forest. They meet at the forest. So Krishna is like the king of the forest. So the king of the forest has, you know, forest means what are the significance or the characteristics of the forest. There is fruits, there is flowers. So because the flowers are in connection to the king of the forest, so Srimati Radharani feels that I want to adorn myself with the property that belongs to Krishna. So that is the reason why she actually loves to decorate herself with flower ornaments also, which she herself has taught Lalita and Vishakha how to make. And, you know, she has taught them how to make, you know, earrings for her. It is explained that earrings Lalita and Vishakha make for her are of the shape of peacocks, sometimes of parrots, sometimes of swans, sometimes of sharks. So like this, different shapes of earrings Srimati Radharani wears, which are made out of different combination of various flowers. And Srimati Radharani has personally taught how to make these flower ornaments to Lalita and Vishakha. This is taken from Ujjwala Neelamani, in that book, there's a description of the flower ornaments that Srimati Radharani wears. And these, this flower belt, this flower sash that she wears around her waist is also very, very beautiful. It is explained that there are 8 different flowers in the sash of Srimati Radharani that she loves, you know, like different flowers like Kadamba. You know, Kadamba is the round tennis ball-like flowers. Then there's the Keli Kadamba, which is smaller. They're almost like little tiny, very tinier, but they've got very good fragrance. So these are the 2 round-shaped flowers, Kadamba and Keli Kadamba. She uses, Champaka. She uses jasmine. She uses Parijata. She uses, you know, different kinds of these 8 different kinds of flowers that are used on the waist sash of Srimati Radharani. Very, very exotic flavored and exotic scented flowers that she uses. So we'll move on to text 10, which is describing further beauty of Srimati Radharani.
Anakamantra Nadamanjo Nupura Ravaskalat Samajaraja Hansavamsha Nikvanati Gaurave Vinola Hema Vallari Vidam Vicharu Chankrame Kada Karishya Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
O Goddess, whose anklets tinkling is more beautiful than the sounds of many mantras and the cooing of many regal swans. O Goddess, whose graceful motions mock the moving golden vines, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? Here again, continuing on with the meditation of Srimati Radharani's anklets when they are moving towards Krishna, when they are making their way towards Krishna, Krishna actually feels that these sound of Srimati Radharani's ankle bells is more beautiful than many, many mantras put together. Aneka mantra nada. So many, many sounds of mantras, you know, how when we chant different mantras, how auspicious the sound becomes. You know, one time whenever I read this particular verse, I remember this one particular time in the year 1998. Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj was in Mayapur, and that time I was also there in Mayapur. I was living there, and I remember on Nrisimha Chaturdashi day, Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj, the day before, he organized a small meeting, and he said that during the Abhishek, the most glorious Abhishek of Ugrastana Nrisimha in Mayapur, that he wanted to have different combination of different sounds while the Abhishek is going on. And he organized different teams. Actually, there were specifically 8 different teams. So one team he organized will be ringing the bell. The other team will ring the, will play the kartals. The other team will play the mridanga. There's 3 teams. Then the other team, 4th team, will play the harmonium. The 5th team will chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The 6th team will chant the Brahma Samhita prayers. The 7th team will chant the Purusha Shukta prayers. And the eighth team will chant the Nrisimha Kavacha prayers. So these eight teams were organized by Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj that will go on simultaneously creating the most auspicious of all vibrations. So we had, you know, he had organized it in such a way that in front of Lord Nrisimhadev's altar, there were these eight different groups. And of course, there was chanting going on. There was, you know, the kirtan was also going on. So, you know, the mridanga, the kartals, the harmonium, they were all in sync with the kirtan singer. And simultaneously, there was recitation of the Purusha Shukta, the Brahma Samhita, the, you know, all of these different auspicious mantras were also going on. So that was the first time that we had such amazing experience of Nrisimha Chaturdashi, that, you know, these eight different groups coming with eight different transcendental sound vibrations were filling the hall, the temple hall of Shri Radha Madhava and Lord Nrisimhadev. It was amazing experience. So what amazing, you know, auspicious sound vibration. Just imagine, you know, if you have a bird's eye view of this entire scene going on, of eight different, you know, sounds coming together in glorification of the Lord, how auspicious that sound can be. How pleasing this sound vibration will be to Lord Nrisimhadev, to Lord Krishna. So similarly, when, you know, just imagine all of this sound combined, it is said that it is what Krishna finds more beautiful is just the tinkling of ankle bells when Srimati Radharani is walking towards Krishna. Because every step of Srimati Radharani, every thought of Srimati Radharani, every gait of Srimati Radharani is for the glorification of Krishna. She lives and breathes for the glorification of Krishna. So when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, or when we are chanting the Brahma Samhita, when we are doing all of these different sound vibrations, we are also doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. But just imagine how much Srimati Radharani is pleasing Krishna. Just by walking towards Krishna, she is pleasing him so much more. Krishna finds that sound to be more beautiful. That is Srimati Radharani's, you know, supreme, absolute position. So when Srimati Radharani walks towards Krishna, she even puts to shame the graceful motions of the moving golden vines, of the creepers of Vrindavan. You know, when the wind is blowing and the golden vines, you know, very elegantly they sway to and fro, so Srimati Radharani's walk is just like that. Her graceful motion is just like that. She doesn't walk, you know, like how we walk. She doesn't walk like that. Her walk is like as if she is just, you know, gracefully just, you know, swaying along. She's just swaying. Her lotus feet don't even touch the ground. Her step is like a dance. That is how graceful Srimati Radharani is. So in this way, by meditating on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, by begging at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, we should, you know, try that we are able to, while we are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we should be so attentive in listening to each and every sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. This chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra will show its effect if we want it to. You know, one time I remember one of my very senior godbrothers, he's a sannyasi now. He is in charge of the Namahatta in Mayapur. And his name is Gauranga Prem Maharaj. Most of you may know him. He is a very simple-hearted Bengali Vaishnava, one of the very senior devotees, disciples of Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj. And, you know, the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, the Navadvip, the places that, you know, have been found over the years is actually all due to the efforts of this one devotee, Gauranga Prem Swami. So, he was a sannyas disciple of Jayaprataka Maharaj now, but this incident happened when he was a brahmachari, and his name at that time was Gauranga Prem Das. Now he's Gauranga Prem Swami. So one day he actually came to meet Jayaprataka Maharaj on the rooftop of his residence in the Lotus Building in Mayapur Dham. And whenever he would come, Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj would ask him in Bengali, "So Gauranga Prem, what is your realization?" he would ask. And Gauranga Prem Prabhu at that time, very humble, you know, he's a very humble, very sweet devotee. He would also very cutely share his realization. He said, that day, he said that, Guru Maharaj, I was chanting my japa, and suddenly I had this realization that, you know, 10th canto describes Krishna's Rasa Leela, and, you know, we are advised that we should, you know, go from canto 1 and then we should approach, you know, canto 10 gradually. We should never directly jump to the most confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But look at the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Look at the mercy of yourself, Gauranga Prem Prabhu said. That because by your mercy, we are participating in Rasa Leela from day 1 of our Krishna consciousness. And Jayaprataka Maharaj said, "How so? Why do you say so?" He said, he just pulled out his beads from his japa bag, and he said, "You see, this is Krishna, the head bead is Krishna. And what is Rasa Leela basically? Rasa Leela is how Krishna is present with each and every gopi. He is dancing with each and every gopi, and every gopi is thinking that, oh, Krishna is with me, Krishna is with me. That is Rasa Leela. So what are we doing when we are chanting Hare Krishna mantra on our japamala? We are starting from Krishna bead, and by taking the touch of Krishna, we are going to each and every sakhi. We are going to the 108 beads. By taking Krishna's touch. So we are taking Krishna to each and every one of the 108 sakhis. So that is Rasa Leela going on right within our bead bags from day 1 of our Krishna consciousness. So we are actually actively participating in the Rasa Leela of Sri Krishna. And this is just by your mercy that we have got the Hare Krishna mantra because of our Guru Varga and because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we should realize that there is Rasa Leela going on, that we are facilitating in and directly participating in the Rasa Leela. That is one of the understandings. So it was so beautiful, you know, and I personally experienced this. I was present there when this exchange was going on. It was so beautiful to experience this. That so much of realization, so much of, you know, we have so long to go, you know, for us to be able to be on that platform to realize this particular realization. So we beg at the lotus feet of all the devotees. We beg at the lotus feet of our Guru Vargas. We beg at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all of our Parampara Acharyas. Sri, we beg at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, and we take shelter of the most merciful lotus feet of Sri Mati Radha Thakurani, so that she will one day award us this kind of realization where we no longer have to force ourselves or remind ourselves to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, that we will be always chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments, or reflections? We can take that now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam. Glory to Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, especially your story, sharing the whole pastime, Mayapur pastime, and Maharaj, with Guru Maharaj, especially. You are also bringing same mood for us. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your mercy. If anybody has any question, comment for Mataji, they can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Koti koti dandvat pranam to your seva. Mataji, when you explained that Guru Deva Jaipataka Maharaj is arranged for Narsingh Jayanti for eight sound vibration, and that vibration is the feeling of that vibration is totally different. It's touched to her heart. It's like feel that Srimati Radharani is walking. We feel that Leela from your explanation, Mataji. We are not qualified to enter Sita Vrindavan or Sita Mayapur, Mataji. That Radharani is Nupur and Ankle Veil and by Kartal and by different sound, Mataji. Hari Bol, Mataji. Thank you very much for this Leela. Shri Radha, Krupa Kutaskasham Ki Jai. Dandvat Pranam, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for your association.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for wonderful class, Mataji. Last part I missed for realization. Actually, my kid has started crying. So could you please repeat what was that realization regarding chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
The realization from my godbrother, that's the one you want?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so he said that when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, he said that there is Rasa Leela going on right there in our bead bags, you know, because Rasa Leela means what? Rasa Leela basically is where Krishna is dancing with each and every gopi, and each and every gopi is thinking that Krishna is only here with me. They're dancing with Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we start with the head bead, who is known as Krishna. That is the Krishna bead. So we are touching Krishna, and we are taking the same touch of Krishna to all the sakhis, the 108 sakhis. So we are bringing Krishna's touch to all the sakhis. So we are facilitating, we are becoming facilitators of the Rasa Leela. We are bringing Krishna to each and every sakhi. So like that, the Rasa Leela is going on, even in our bead bags when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Oh, thank you so much, Mataji.
Jeha.
Thank you for wonderful class.
Thank you.
By your class only, we gain lots of energy, lots of spiritual energy.
Hare Krishna, I'm just repeating. I'm just a parrot who's repeating, nothing else. But thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji, and very nice description about Radharani. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji, yes.
So, it's like, very secret, Mataji, but all... every Saturday we reveal that secret, by chanting Sri Sri Radha Krupa Kataksha and talking about Radharanis and Gopis and all the Prajavasis, Mataji. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for mentioning about the back door of the Goloka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. He opened the back door of Goloka for us, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. It's amazing class, Kalasudha. Really, you know, means it will, for myself, you know, means by listening all your narrating about the lotus feet, beauty of the lotus feet, it will help me in concentrating or in doing the japa more attentively. So amazing, amazing. It's very wonderful. And you sing so nicely, Mataji. Na, it's so sweet in your voice. It's so sweet. Na, बस लगता है सुनते ही जाओ ना
ये आपके सुनने की मधुरता है इसमें मेरा कुछ नहीं है बट इट्स जस्ट द ब्यूटी ऑफ योर हियरिंग इंटेंसिटी ऑफ योर लिसनिंग टू कृष्ण कथा दैट्स ऑल मदर थैंक यू
योर प्योरिटी इज योर प्योरिटी एंड यू सेड दैट द चेस्ट वेरी दे डोंट शो द फीट सो इज देयर एनी रीजन और समथिंग बिहाइंड इट
Well, the reason that is given is that it's the epitome of chastity. In a chaste woman, they never show their feet. That is the reason that is given. That is why Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, we don't see it on a daily basis. There are very special occasions when she shows her lotus feet, you know. So it is a symbol of chastity, so to speak. It is an emblem of chastity where you know, chaste women, you know, that's why you'll not see, you know, like how, you know, people nowadays, they wear short dresses, ladies, they wear all that, but that's not supposed to be chaste. Because chaste women, they don't show their feet. They don't show their lotus feet. That's just a symbol of chastity.
Yes, yes, Madhuri, very nice. When I see these Muslim ladies, you know, they are covered, they cover their head also. I mean, that is in all the religion. It's not only in our religion also. No? Cover
exactly.
Their head and,
Yes. Yes.
Good, Madhuri. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Madhuri.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, you said like when Radharani was walking, her lotus feet were not touching to the ground.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Why it is that? It's impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for Radharani. But why she was not touching her feet to the ground?
Well, the reason it is not always touches the lotus ground. Her lotus feet never touches the ground. She does because you know she also leaves her lotus feet marks on the ground sometimes. But you know when she is Srimati Radharani is feather light. You know she is although she looks to be very heavy, but she is feather light. You know, she is very, very light. So when she is especially coming to meet with Krishna, she is in so much of a hurry that she just literally flies, it is explained. You know, this was explained to us one time by Srila Radharaman Maharaj. He said that when she is with Krishna, she is very relaxed. That time she'll just, you know, lean on Krishna's shoulder and she walks at that time. So that time her lotus feet will sink into the ground because the ecstasy of her lotus feet, you know, when we are feeling a lot of ecstatic symptoms, are, you know, the body gets very hot. You know, it is described in Nectar of Devotion, one of the ecstatic symptoms is that there's bodily heat generated. So even when Srimati Radharani, when she's holding Krishna's hands and leaning on his shoulder and walking, at that time she's so much in ecstasy that even when she's walking on stone-filled, you know, paths of Vrindavan or on the foothills of Giriraj, that stone-laid path, the stones melt when Srimati Radharani walks. You know, that is how much ecstasy Srimati Radharani experiences when she's with Krishna. But this particular time, what I said is that her lotus feet does not touch the ground is because when she is, you know, having the anxiety to go and meet with her beloved Shama Sundara, at that time, she doesn't want to just depend on her walking. She wants to fly towards Krishna. So she literally just, you know, picks up and she just goes, you know, she just flies. So it is explained that even the devatas, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, even devatas, when they come down to this world, they don't, you know, walk. They actually hover. You know, hovering means they fly around. They don't, their feet don't touch the ground. So that is the symptom of a, you know, devata also, when they visit here. They don't touch the ground. So Srimati Radharani is the, you know, the supreme goddess. So she can do whatever she wants to do. When she wants to fly, she can fly. When she wants to walk in ecstasy, she can walk. And she can leave her footprints also. So it is based on the situation, what she chooses to do. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, Mataji, thank you for the mentioning about the chanting like Krishna, like we chant, start from the Krishna beat and go to the one by one gopis, like that helps us to, you know, concentrate on chanting more.
Yes, Mataji. How sincerely we have to chant, because all the Astutaki is hearing, Srimati Radharani is hearing, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Guru Parampara is hearing. So we should chant very attentively, Mataji. We learn one lesson today. Sometimes, Mataji, first 11 round in the morning time, it's very attentively. But please forgive me. When after coming job, when we are complete, when we are other four rounds, that is totally mechanically. Mataji, from today, I will be very attentively chant all my 16 rounds. Dhanvat pranam.
Please bless us so we may also have that same determination like you to chant. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, can you please sing Shishi Radha Krupa Kataksham?
Sure, sure. In the end, I will definitely sing.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Komodi Ki Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Except my humble obeisances. I have one question.
Yes, Mataji.
To mention, you know, in a discussion that Radharani, she is in ecstasy, and she just, when she goes to Krishna, she just flies like her ground. I mean, feet doesn't touch the ground. So now, I'm wondering about the devatas. So, of course, they don't come in the Kali Yuga. The previous yugas were coming when the sacrifices was going on. So they all are invited and they come. So what would be their ecstasy, or what the, how that they don't touch the ground? Could you please explain?
Sure, sure, sure. The reason why the devatas don't touch this ground is not because of ecstasy, like Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is completely different. She is transcendental. But the devatas, when they come down to this material world, they are actually, you know, it is said that their bodies are much more different. They have, they don't have gross bodies like us, you know. The composition of their bodies is completely different. Like Lord Brahma, he is made up of only pure intelligence, you know, only subtle body like that. So just like ghosts, you know, we don't see ghosts, right? But the ghosts also, they don't walk around. They hover. Because the subtle body, they cannot, you know, interact with the gross elements. So, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, this is the gross elements. So the reason why the devatas don't touch their feet when they come here is because they are of two different platforms. One is the subtle platform and the other is the gross platform. So that is why their feet don't touch, because they can't interact with the gross elements. That is the reason why. So when they come down to this world, they either take the form of, you know, they take a gross form if they want to. Then they can interact and manipulate with the gross elements. But otherwise, they just hover, you know, they just hover around. So even as recent as, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was present here, Srila Prabhupada saw Narad Muni. Srila Prabhupada saw Srila Vyasadev. He said that, did you see, you know, after the Rath Yatra in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees that, did you see, you know, how beautifully, you know, Gornitai were dancing, and how Narad Muni and Vyasadev, they had all come, they were dancing in the kirtan during Rath Yatra. Then one day Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving class in Los Angeles, in New Dwarka Dham, that time Srila Prabhupada said, Narad Muni has come and Vyasadeva has come, so please have an asana for them. So if you notice in New Dwarka temple that there are two asanas that are kept on the altar even till today for Narad Muni and for Srila Vyasadeva. Because Prabhupada said that whenever there is Krishna Katha, that these personalities come. So in New Dwarka, because Srila Prabhupada said it, you know, personally like that, they have it still on the altar. So like this, pure devotees are able to see, you know, devatas. There are many instances in Mayapur where, you know, devotees have seen devatas coming down, you know, participating in Radha Madhava's Abhishek, and it is verified. Yes, they do. So when they are seen, their feet actually never touch the ground. But the reason is not being on the transcendental platform, but because they are very subtle, and subtle elements cannot interact directly with gross elements. That is the reason why that the devatas, their feet don't touch the ground when they are in their demigod bodies, you know. So does that answer your question, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
I have the phone on a mute. Yes, Mataji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your wonderful question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Very nicely explained, Mataji. That was coming in my mind too. So it's, you said very nicely that the subtle body, they cannot interact with the gross elements. So that is the reason we are not able to see. Because I was wondering also, earlier days, you know, the Narad Muni, everywhere, you know, he used to come, but what happened in Kali Yuga now?
He's still here. Narad Muni is still here. Those who see him, they see him. Prabhupada has seen him. You know, there have been instances in Mayapur that, you know, many devotees have been revealed about the presence of the devatas, especially during the Abhishek of Radha Madhava. Many, many, many instances have happened, you know. So, yeah, so pure devotees are able to see, even till today, they can see the devatas because their vision is, you know, premanjana shurita bhakti vilochanena. Their vision is not just mundane vision. Their vision is salved with the love of pure love for Krishna. So that is why they can see even the gross, I mean, sorry, even the subtle elements they can see. Srila Prabhupada saw the ghost also. He initiated the ghost and delivered the ghost. Srila Prabhupada saw Devata, Srila Prabhupada saw Narad Muni. So they are there, it's just that they are invisible to our eyes. And the more purer we become, then they are revealed that they are sitting right here amongst us, listening to Krishna Katha. We can see them in front of our eyes. They cannot escape at that time.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, I will honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request. Okay. Munindra Vrindavan Dute Trilokashoka Harini. राधे निकुंज विलासिनी ब्रजेन्द्र भानु नंदिनी ब्रजेन्द्र शूनु संगते कदा करिष्य सिंहनाम कृपा कटाक्ष भाजनम अशोक वृक्ष
so much, Mataji. Let's say our obeisances to her grace, Kalasudha Mataji, and all the devotees who are present. Vansa Kalpatar Vesta, Kirpa Sindhu Eva, Padita Nama Bhava Nesika, Vaishnava Ebdo Namo Namaha. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.